Hey everyone, Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Welcome back to Worst Seats in the House. Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta coming to you from beautiful Tampa on the Wild's off day. The Wild about to get on a team bus and actually go over to the football stadium to watch Monday Night Football from a suite. New York Giants and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My hotel, Anthony, I feel like I'm around 200 of my brothers. Like, and when I say brothers, I'm talking about my legitimate brother. Like, my brother is a diehard Giants, Mets fan, obnoxious, typical New York Giants fan, watches every game, knows everything about the Giants, and I feel like there are like 200 of my brother in the lobby of my hotel right now. So that's why I came out here.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, so I've had the same feel, not that they feel like I'm around your brother, but just the number of people in Giants and Buccaneers apparel. It reminded me of that we arrived here on New Year's Eve one year, played in St. Louis, flew, the clock or the calendar turned to the next year in the air. I remember our flight attendants coming over the loudspeaker saying, "Hey, it's Happy New Year. Welcome to 2017 or whatever it is." And when we landed here and pulled in, one of the New Year's Day bowl games is here in Tampa, the Citrus Bowl, I believe. And that year it was going to be Tennessee against Northwestern. And when we walked into the hotel, everybody in the place was either wearing orange or purple. And it's kind of the same feel we had around here all day today. Everybody you walk past either has a Giants jersey on or a Bucks jersey. It's crazy the number of fans that are in this area for the game tonight.
And it is cool that the Wild are together as a team, all the players going to the game tonight.
Yeah, we just walked by them in the lobby. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, and then they'll fly on Tuesday morning after practice. Actually, Tuesday afternoon after practice, they'll fly up to New Jersey, stay in the city, and then play the Devils on Wednesday night. Anthony, you're wearing stylish new shades. They are cool as crap. I wish I could have them. It's my type of black and blue type shades.
Costa sunglasses,
And what Wild fans might not realize, and I don't think they do, because normally I see a lot of tweets about your broadcasts usually, but I saw nothing about you being off your game last night, yet you called the game blind.
One eye blind, for sure, yeah. It really... There's a couple good stories here, and I should start by backing up to how it even came to be.
Right.
So today, Monday, as we tape this, is Margo's birthday. And about 2 weeks ago, Margo texts me and says, "Hey, you know, you haven't talked about plans for my birthday. What are we doing for?" I said, "Well, we'll go out for dinner on your birthday." I hadn't looked at the Wild's travel schedule. I assumed that with a Sunday game in Tampa, and not playing till Wednesday in New Jersey, that we'd be flying home after the game in Tampa, spend the off day at home, and then fly to New Jersey. That's kind of the way it had always been in previous years. So I just assumed, well, we'll go out for dinner on Monday night. Well, last week, Margo texts me and says, "Hey, I just looked at your travel schedule. Do you know you're not coming home from Tampa?" And so in about, I'd say within 5 minutes, I had called the Meat Market Steakhouse in Hyde Park to see if I could get a table for Monday night, gone to Delta and booked a flight for Margo to come down here. And once I knew I could get the table at the steak place, then I booked her a flight to come down. I text her back. I said, "Yep, we're having dinner in Tampa." and so you should get your itinerary shortly.
And acted like you had planned this for weeks.
I think she knew I hadn't, but it was a pretty quick audible on my part.
Yeah.
And... So Margo is coming down here for her birthday. I had bought her a flight for yesterday afternoon, for Sunday afternoon. And when she arrives, so her brother had given her this great birthday gift of sent her like all like 10 different kinds of caviar, and then asked me if I could help out by getting like a great bottle of champagne for her to enjoy it. Well, he had to have it shipped on the day before we left because he said I wanted to come for her birthday. I said she's going to be with me in Tampa on her birthday. So I couldn't share it with her on the Friday night that we were down in South Florida. So I said, I'm going to have a bottle of champagne ready for Margo when she gets here. She arrives Sunday afternoon, and I've got work to do to get ready for the game, but I'm going to open a bottle of champagne for Margo to enjoy to celebrate her kickoff her birthday celebration. And an errant cork hit me in the eye, right square in the eye.
God.
Knocked me off my feet, and it was terrifying. I had literally no vision in my left eye. All I saw was, it was as if somebody was holding a piece of white paper in front of me.
God.
And that's all I could see was just plain white. And it was terrifying. And you know, so first I get the contact lens out and I thought, all right, that's step one. At least that's not smashed in my eye somewhere. But it was terrifying. And as the day progressed, I was able to at least see movement where, like, I couldn't make anything out, but, like, if I waved my hand in front of my face, I could see that something was moving. So that had me a little optimistic. Went and saw the trainer, arranged to see the Tampa eye specialist after the game. But, I mean, there's a long-winded story to how bad my eyes are and the contact lens adjustments that I have to make. The short version is this. My left eye is my dominant eye. That is the prescription for that is made for distance. It's over strong so that I can see jersey numbers. My right eye is half the strength so that I can read what's in front of me. Well, the left eye is the one that got hit. So I can't see anything with my right eye. I threw an old contact lens in my right eye and I thought everything was okay, but when the teams came out for warmups, I couldn't read a jersey number to save my life.
Wow.
And so I threw my left contact lens into my right eye and then called the game with one eye closed so that I could at least see the jersey numbers. And
so just so you know, at your expense, I was having a lot of fun last night with Dane, just joking around. Like when Foligno scored, I'm like, how funny would it be because he can't see out of his left eye if he like just saw the seven and like either called Sturm's goal or Bukestad or Kaprizov. Like yeah. I was like the whole thing. After every goal, we would go online to go listen to your goal call to see if you got it right. And I got to say, I was actually very impressed. You would never have known, at least on your goal calls, that anything was wrong with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was hard because so now I've got this like significantly overcorrected right eye so that I can see the jersey numbers. My left eye, now I can at least make out shapes of people, but I still can't really see anything out of it unless I held the piece of paper. Like if I was trying to send a text message with my phone, it had to be not more than 2 inches from my face or I couldn't see it.
That's crazy.
Our stats guy turned to me and said, this is like watching Mr. Magoo call a hockey game because you're holding I'd hold the papers like in, when I had to read a promo, I'd have to hold the iPad like within inches of my nose to be able to read it.
So it was funny.
And
so
I'm thankful. It sounds like everything's going to be okay and I'm going to get my vision back. Yeah. I still don't have it. It's still really cloudy and really blurry and it sounds like it might be a couple week process, but I went back to the eye doctor this morning and I've got four prescriptions of different eye drops that I'm taking like sporadically over the course of the day to control dilation and swelling and pressure and another one that's a steroid. I mean, it is like,
that is going to be an interesting flight for you tomorrow because that is usually not a very good thing, having an eye issue.
Yeah, actually, what he told me was that the pressure in the plane wouldn't be the problem. The pressure is internal. It's like being caught. There's blood in my eye is basically what's happened here. And he said that we just have to worry about the pressure within your eye. It's not actually external pressure that adds to it. At least that's what he told me. So,
well, Anthony plays hurt once again. He once took a golf ball to the eye before a Twins live game. Whenever I get a text message from Margo that says, have you heard the news? I know that it's going to be some sort of injury to Anthony at this point. And Margo was a little rattled last night, to say the absolute least, with text messages I was getting. She's like, have you seen Anthony today? I'm like, no. And he's like, well, it's bad. That's what the only thing the text said. I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad. And then all I heard was that you had an eye issue. So then right away, I just figured maybe you caught COVID, because some people with COVID have eye issues to start off. And she's like, no, it's not COVID. We know that for a fact.
We know that for a fact.
He took a cork, a champagne cork, directly to the eyeball. Absolutely unbelievable. But pretty impressed that you were able to call the game, and hopefully everything goes well from here on out.
It's hard to say you feel lucky, because I feel significantly unlucky that the cork hit me in the eye. I mean, I've opened, 100 bottles of champagne in my life. I mean, I've never once unscrewed the wire and immediately had the cork shoot out. I mean, almost every time I've had to grab it with your hand and pull it. Well, in this, so it shot out. Well, it could have just shot up and hit the ceiling and would have been like, oh, that sucked. Or even hit me in the forehead or something. I mean, it didn't have to be in the eyeball. But the eye doctor did. It was kind of interesting. He, as we were talking last night, he said, do you know that champagne corks cause this, the injury that you have? That's the most common cause of this injury, is people getting hit with a champagne cork.
I saw your Dr. Chuck is his name. I saw it on it. It's all his like credential, his Tampa Bay Lightning credential.
He's been their eye doctor for 20 years, I believe. He said he's been to every home game for 20 years.
So I did this story that I don't know if it'll be out tomorrow, the day that this is recording, because there's still some editing and some other stuff that we need to do to flush it out. But there's a hockey player in Slovakia named Boris Sadecki that passed away at age 24 on October 29th. He died on November 3rd, but it happened in a game October 29th. And I did this story because Tyler Nanny played in the game, Lou Nanny's grandson. And Tyler was on the ice playing a shift with him when the poor kid collapsed. And he died four or five days later, and it turned out that he had cardiac arrest, inflammation of the heart, not unlike what Tyler Nanny coincidentally had in 2015 when he almost passed away, myocarditis, and what Marco Rossi had. So I talked to Rossi last night after his game, after our availability here in Tampa, and then I talked to Tyler Nanny a couple days ago. Incidentally, he just signed in Finland today, because that team that the kid was on from Slovakia has since disbanded and left the league. Unbelievable story, by the way. The GM of the team felt so guilty that he made this kid play after he complained of being not feeling well, that he killed himself 2 days later.
Oh.
And that guy was the son of a draft pick by the Minnesota North Stars that coincidentally Lou Nanny drafted in 1982, who also killed himself in 1993 at age 37. So we've gotten off to a little bit of tangent here, but for this story, I'm writing about myocarditis, and I've written about it enough that I have a pretty good grasp of this. But today I'm like, God, who do I know that's a cardiologist that can help me with this story? And the first thing I think of is Dr. Howard Bush, who is the Panthers and Miami Dolphins team doctor. He is one of the top cardiologists in the entire country. And I call him up, and the thing that I forget about is these teams between Tampa Bay and Minnesota, and in Florida, they've had their same doctors for like since the inception. It's pretty crazy. Like Howard Bush has been the Panthers doctor since training camp in 1993. Roger Nielsen was like the first guy he gave a physical to. And here we are, you know, what, 28 years.
Wilder than the same. Dr. Boyd has been their physician since day one.
Dan Peterson and Sheldon Burns. And so when I saw Dr. Chuck last night, it made me think of that, because I recognize him from 20 years ago when I used to cover Panther Lightning games. And there I see him walking with Anthony after the game. It's pretty unbelievable.
Really, he's really a great guy. He's been incredibly helpful.
He's a cartoon character type guy.
He is.
Anybody that has a credential that doesn't say his full name, it just says Dr. Chuck, you know that's pretty good doctor.
He met me at what used to be his office today, because he said it would be too far to have you come all the way to where my new office is. I'll just meet you at this building where we used to have an office. We still have most of our equipment in there. So he met me at this like basically half vacant eye doctor's office and today just to take a look at me, and he's walking around, and, you know, let me see if I can find any. We had a couple samples of this eye drop that we need. I'm going to see if I can find anything laying around, because most of our stuff's gone now, and
God, that reminds me of, like, 20 years ago, I had an eye issue in Phoenix, and I had to go to a doctor there, and I don't know why that just popped in my head, but we were covering a Panther-Coyote game, and I had walking pneumonia, and for some reason, I couldn't see, and I had to go to an eye doctor there. It's just, what a weird story.
Sore calf that lend you an emergency room.
Hey, look. I don't think that you can make fun of me anymore after shooting yourself in the eye with a freaking...
At least mine was a legitimate injury.
But, you know, you can't hurt your eyes. That's your livelihood.
Well,
I know your vocal cord. It's like when Mike
Greenlay
almost broke my hand with a
shuffleboard
rock or whatever that thing is. Like, he could have ruined my career.
It could have been a career-ending injury.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, like, those are legit. Mine is a legitimate injury. Yours was a possible legitimate injury, and then a sore calf.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's talk about the Wild. I think it's been long enough.
Well,
14
wait, before
minutes.
We get to that, I mean, there's been more of a clown show on this thing, because all I heard last night, I wasn't really paying attention to your life on Twitter yesterday because I couldn't see at the time, but... When I got home, all Margo asked me about was, hey, so what did Russo have to say about his day? Apparently, you guys had some clown show travel experience yesterday.
Dane Mizutani from the Pioneer Press and Sarah McClellan from the Star Tribune. Let's put it this way. I covered the Panthers for 10 years.
Really?
I never once drove from Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach to Tampa. To me, just hop on a Delta flight for 30 minutes or a Southwest flight. Back in the day, you could fly West Palm Beach to Tampa nonstop on Delta. In fact, I once connected on a plane with Nikolai Habibulin and Brad Richards and Carol Ruchinik, who's passed away since they were going out to the All-Star game in L.A.
I have a side note to this story I'm going to throw in. But go finish your story first.
Well, just one other little laugh out loud funny thing about his eye that I didn't even tell you is, so I'm talking to Scotty Bowman in the press box yesterday, and I'm telling him about your eye issue, and I said, so I don't mean to be like rude to you, but I want to go watch him do the pregame show just to see how he's going to look and how he's going to function. So Scotty goes to me, he's like, I kind of want to see that. So Scotty and I, during your pregame show, sat outside your door and watched you and Gigi Marvin do it. And I think the funniest thing that I saw that I pointed out to Scotty was you looking at the TV in front of you like this, and nobody could see me, but you were looking left, like into the corner with your right eye looking down at the TV in front of you, and Scotty loved it. So I just want you to know that. So,
all right, well, good.
Our day. So we go to Fort. So we take a Southwest flight from Fort Lauderdale. I bet people are just loving this podcast at this point. All they want to hear is how bad the Wild's goaltending is, and we're just avoiding that subject now. So we decide that we're going to take a Southwest flight. There's only one. It's a Sunday, so there's no early flight. There's only a 9:50 flight that would get us here if the Wild skated or whatever. Should have been in here by 11. Availability at 3, early game, 5 o'clock game time. So we get on the plane at 9:50, and it's all of a sudden I'm looking at my watch, and it's 10, it's 10:10, we're not leaving, and I just start looking around, and I'm kind of like, I'm realizing that nobody realizes that this is, I've been on Southwest enough to know that they are on time. They pull back from that gate because the way it works, I mean, they got to get to Tampa to continue on to somewhere else. They move those planes so quick. So I know something's wrong. All of a sudden, the pilot gets on and says, well, folks, bad news. The people that we contract to fuel our plane put too much fuel in. And we've decided that instead of basically taking the fuel out, it would be quicker to just swap planes. You're in B9, go over to B8. Everybody's all bitching and moaning. Get off. I was, of course, fine, by the way.
Right.
So, you know, just go over to B8. We're going to put you on that plane. We'll be out of here within an hour. We just got to get your bags over there. So we all get online at B8. They're like, immediately the gate agent's like, you know, everybody sit down, take some time. We got to get this all sorted out. So we sit down. The time's going on, time's going on, time's going on. Then we, for some reason, we're never getting on this new plane. Then Dane and Sarah is like, Russo, Russo, Russo. I got my music in. And they're like, I look, and they are filming the tarmac, gas everywhere. So while they were siphoning out the gas from the plane, something happened, and the gas just spilled out of the wings all over the tarmac. So now we got like 8 fire engines out there. People with literally paper towels. I mean, it was unbelievable. So finally, and I'm really making a long story short here because people are tired of, they want us to talk about the Wild. So finally, we get on the new plane, and the pilot comes on. This is like at 2 o'clock, by the way. Like, so we've been in Fort Lauderdale. Sorry, it was about 1 something because we were 4 hours, literally to the minute, 4 hours late leaving Fort Lauderdale. The pilot comes on and goes, for point of full disclosure here, what happened was, so we overfueled the one plane. Again, it's the gas contractor. He was making it very clear this wasn't our Southwest fault. This was the gas contractor. The same guy then goes over to the new plane and puts too much fuel in that plane. So then they go back to the other plane, start taking the fuel out, and the same guy did something wrong and fuel everywhere. So it was just an absolute... And then also during this, Dane has great video of this. Somebody to go run out there and help during this emergency tripped the alarm of the glass door in the B concourse at Fort Lauderdale Airport. So the most piercing alarm is going off for like 25 minutes. Finally, a Broward County Sheriff's officer comes over to the alarm and tries to fix it. He can't get it to stop. He's doing all this stuff. So then this guy, this deputy, decides, you know what? I'm going to go on the outside of this and try to fix it that way. So he opens up the door to the left of it. Now a second piercing alarm is going off. So now we got the two most piercing, annoying,
the most annoying sound in the world.
It was unbelievable. And it was a day from hell. Oh man. I honestly couldn't get my Wi-Fi to work. Then I found out you were shot in the eye. It was just
what
a long day.
So yeah. The interjection I was going to make in your story is wasn't there a story about you flying from, I think it was from Florida, Tampa. But you had to have, like, you made some connection, some ridiculous connection, because you wanted a certain number of miles to maintain status?
No, I was flying Phoenix to Dallas, and I went to Atlanta. No, you know what you were thinking? That West Palm Beach, yes, you're right. I had 96. Back in the day, I had 90. You needed 100 segments to get the Diamond. I had 96. And I bought 2 round-trip tickets on the same plane from West Palm to Tampa, Tampa to West Palm, West Palm to Tampa, Tampa to West Palm, with the same flight crew that thought I was completely nuts. But I got my 4 segments, But Brent Flair, who, by the way, the Flyers are staying at the Wild Hotel right now, so they're all in town. Brent Flair used to make fun of me all the time about how I would fly from Tampa to Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta to connect to come to Tampa because I didn't want to go southwest. And if I had done that yesterday, I would have beaten everybody. Tell us about Tria, then we'll talk about the Wild.
Well, so I mentioned earlier, you know, I've told the story about my knee injury and Dr. Joel Boyd taking care of it. I've also had another instance where I had to go to Tria and I had to see Dr. Amundson, who's their back specialist.
Do they have an eye doctor?
They may. I'll have to check that out. I had what turned out to be a disc fragment had displaced in my back and was causing some pain in my thigh and knee. I went back to Dr. Boyd and I said, hey, I think there's something wrong with my knee that you fixed. And he looks at it again. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the knee. I did a good job. The knee's great. Turns out it was this, and Dr. Amundson took care of it and wound up giving me a cortisone shot in my back, which was an incredible experience of, you know, hey, we've got all these lasers to get our aimed right and everything. But the bottom line is he's just another example of a high quality guy at Tria. And no matter if you're an athlete trying to get yourself back on the field or just somebody that's trying to maintain an active lifestyle, these guys are, they're the best in the business at getting you back and getting your body back in shape in a quick fashion. I trust every one of those guys. I've had experiences with so many of them, including the two I just mentioned. So if you've got injuries you're dealing with in your family, check out Tree Orthopedics.
Yeah, but now I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Jerry Bosch and Bosch Law Firm for sponsoring this podcast. You heard about him and his law firm at the beginning of this podcast. And I've been telling you for months how easy and effective my profile journey has been. I've lost many, many pounds. A lot of people that have seen me on this trip for the first time keep on asking me how much weight I've lost. And I don't like to tell them because it's kind of embarrassing, at least for me. But the good news is I'm pretty much keeping it off. Even Billy Guerin last night said to Anthony Morgo, like, boy, you're keeping your weight off. So that's all thanks to my profile coach and Profile by Sanford. Profile's customized plan will get you to your goal. They're with you every step of the way, giving you encouragement and keeping you on track. And that's something needed, especially around Thanksgiving, because there's a lot of, well, good food, but scrumptious food and probably high-caloried food. So I know you've been trying to keep your weight off. And if you really do want to lose weight. Profile is very different than a lot of weight loss programs. It's worked for me. It could work for you, too. Join Profile this month and take advantage of their buy three, get three deal. Pay for 3 months of health coaching and get 3 months absolutely free. Six metro locations as well as Waite Park, Mankato, and Rochester. Visit profileplan.com/TwinCities today to set up a free consultation. Tell them that Russo sent you. That is, again, profileplan.com/TwinCities. And here's a word from Minnesota Propane Association.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy two heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy, right now.
Back here, worst seats in the house, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPantic, coming to you live from outside about three different Marriott properties, which is always my favorite thing.
And you know, they're building an Element hotel here right next door to the JW Marriott. Yeah. So here was our travel arrival. We've stayed in the Marriott here
on Water Street
for probably the last 6 or 7
it used
years.
To be called Waterside.
And it...
Do you know that one of the Winnipeg Jets lives on one of those boats?
Yeah, the Scouts.
Yeah, one of the Scouts. Yeah.
Yep. So we pull in, and we pull into this loading dock when we arrived the other night from South Florida. And we get out, and I was like, wow, we've never parked in a loading dock before. And Margo thinks this story is not interesting at all.
Margo's like, can you talk about the wild yet? Right. Is everybody listening
to this? We will. But so I go up to my room, and I look out my window, and I could see the arena. And I said, this is weird. I've never been able to see the arena from this hotel before.
I can't believe that you didn't. And this is when you could see. You didn't know you were in a different hotel?
No, I didn't until the next morning. I walked out of the hotel lobby, and I'm like, wait a minute. I started looking around. I was like, none of this looks the same. So I turned back in. I said, did you guys redo the lobby? And they said, no, it's brand new. We've only been open for a year and a half. It's a JW Marriott. Yeah. It's right across the street from the Marriott. They both are on the same. They have the same name because they're on
all
the same street.
All both owned by Jeff Vinnick, their owner.
And so anyway, it's a great hotel, but it's
I was telling, I was walking to the game yesterday with Dame Mizutani. We're staying over there at that incredible Westin. And I'm like, Dan, you have no, like, you know, I've been coming here for 25 years, right? I mean, you know, it's 27, really. Panthers and Lightning used to play 10 times a year when I first started covering the league. I'm like, I cannot explain to you how much this area has changed. Like, this hotel right here, this Marriott Waterside, now Water Street, used to be the only thing down here. There was nowhere to eat other than the champions in that hotel, and now this place is just absolutely unbelievable.
It's a great downtown.
Yeah, it's just absolutely awesome. Let's honestly talk about the Wild now. This is everybody's either absolutely loving this podcast or a fast forward to this part.
Yep.
And I'm probably a little bit of both. Interesting road trip to start. You know, not a win yet, but they rally back and almost force overtime in Florida the other night. Scored 2 goals on 6-on-5s. They do it again last night against the Lightning. This time, score overtime. Unfortunately, they don't win in the shootout there. But this team, 7 6-on-5 goals now.
It's unbelievable.
They've scored 2 in the same game 3 times.
3 times.
That's got to be that's got to be an NHL record, right?
It might be. But so there, I had looked before.
Especially in the first 18 games.
Before last night's game, I had done some checking into it. There were 4 teams, as Russo slurps on his Bloody Mary.
I can use another.
And I should say, we're taping this like at dinner time, and he's having a Bloody Mary. But
I've been writing, honestly, just to interject, that Tyler Nandy, Sudecki, Rossi story today took so much out of me. It was honestly emotional writing it that I got done, I went to the gym, and the first thing I said is I'm getting a drink because I just needed it.
Well deserved. But anyway, so going into the game last night, there were 4 teams in the league that had a plus goal differential when they had an empty net. Now, it's a little bit misleading, possibly. I got to go do more research in it because the league stats don't differentiate if it's a pulled goaltender at the end of the game or a pulled goaltender because there's like a delayed penalty coming.
Oh, really?
So if they call it empty net.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I know for Minnesota, they are all 6-on-5 end of game situations, and it's 7-4, they've outscored their opponents. But it's just incredible. And even though they lost the game in Florida the other night, a game that, you know, where they I thought had incredible speed, intensity, and physicality right from the start. It's there's just something about this club that, you know, we've talked about it on a couple shows, that this stuff just doesn't happen. There's something going on with this group that is special. And yeah, three games already where you've scored twice, 6-on-5, and in two of them you earn points because of it. You know, in the Florida game, you gave an empty netter up, so no one more. But they got the win against Winnipeg. They get the overtime point last night.
Same guys scoring, too. Hartman, Foligno, Eriksson Ek. Yeah, what's that say? Guys that go to the net. Fiala's goal last night because Foligno's creating the screen, you know?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I just think it's a – you've got guys that just believe. Mm-hmm. And there's – belief is a powerful weapon. And we're talking about – I mean, these two teams down here – these are two heavyweights.
Yes.
And
Florida is the best team I've seen.
Florida's the best team I've seen, and Tampa's not far behind.
Yeah.
And even though they didn't have Braden Point last night.
Or Kucherov.
They're not far behind.
Yeah.
And they play the way they play, the way they defend.
Yeah.
And so these two games to me have been, I don't want to say that they've proven that the starts for real or anything, because the bottom line is you've lost both games. But
the bottom line is you've matched up with these teams
really well. And so, yes, they didn't have Point.
Yeah.
Wild didn't have Spurgeon. Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff there.
Yeah. Let's get to the negative point of this.
Of course, we've got to get to the negative.
But no, in all honesty, though, like, Anthony, like, I was digging into the analytics last night, and this is very much starting to look like the year that Dubnyk was really struggling, okay? Wild defensively are near the top of the league in all the defensive numbers, and yet they, in terms of expected save percent, expected goals by both Kakinen and especially Talbot, they are like third or fourth worst in the league. So what that tells you is even with this new cast of blue liners that we like to, that some people like to crap on, because Kulikov obviously had a horrible game last game, two games ago, and they've had some issues. They're defending really well. Last night even, 24 shots total in the game, and they give up another four goals. And I know that there's some of these goals, like I don't blame Kakinen on too many last night, even Talbot, don't blame him on a ton, but they're not getting great goaltending right now. Like Talbot has given up four goals in his last seven starts, four times. That's an issue, don't you think?
Well, I'm only a minor issue.
Thanks for the second Bloody Mary, Margo.
Only a minor issue. And I don't think if you look back, can you find a game where you say the Wild lost that game because the other side's goaltender was better?
No, but perhaps because they keep on having these crazy late game
comebacks are part of
them.
But a big part of those comebacks, go find a comeback that did not include a couple huge saves when trailing by their goaltender.
But so perhaps those huge saves were needed because they gave up crappy goals to get there.
But again, now go look back and say and find a goal that you think is one that, boy, that was a bad goal.
Right.
There just haven't been many.
I'm sure the fans listening could.
I thought Talbot gave up the one goofy one in Florida where he was, I don't remember which goal it was, which number goal in the game it was, but he was standing on his feet. He made the first save. The puck was behind him, and he couldn't find it. And
Vetrano.
That was one of the few times this year where I thought, like, he looked like he just didn't track the puck very well. Because, for example, like the San Jose game, one goal is a saucer backdoor backhand pass for a tip-in. Another one is a goofy rebound that deflects right to Timo Meier when a defenseman gets beat off the wall. The one that I thought, all right, you gave up a shot by Erik Karlsson from the point, and maybe that's one you'd say you want your goaltender to make a stop. But it's a 95-mile-an-hour slap shot to the upper corner from a guy who has beaten more than a few goaltenders over his day on that shot. There just haven't been very many goals where you say, all right, that's one you should have had. And, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a time where you're going to need your goaltender to steal you. Because on the other side of this discussion, I don't think there's a game you could point to and say the Wild lost because the other team's goalie was better. I also don't think our goalies have stolen a game this year. I don't think there's been a game where the Wild got outplayed but a goaltender stole it. And you will need You're going to need a couple of those over the course of the season. Your goaltender has to steal you a couple of wins along the way, and for sure in a postseason run. I don't have a concern about it right now.
They're still leading the Central.
Right. There's always something. Yeah. There's always some part of the game that's not quite as good as you'd like it to be, whether it be your penalty kill, your power play, or whatever. Or now your goalie's making a bunch of saves, but you're losing games. You lose a couple games 2-1 or 3-2. I mean, right now they're doing enough to win, and goaltending's a part of that. Defending's a part of that. Yeah, I mean, that's just part of hockey.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad point. I'm sure a couple people have crashed their cars listening to it, though. It's like, I can name 7 goals that are bad. So let's talk about the other elephant in the room, Kevin Fiala. And, there's something up there, okay? He's not in a great place right now. It is so clear. He and Dean have always had an interesting relationship. They, at the beginning of their relationship, liked to portend that they had this great relationship dating back to Milwaukee and all that stuff. But the reality is it's very clear they both drive each other nuts. I mean, that has been so clear from the very beginning. Fiala has worked. He's continued his MO of last year's playoffs where he works his absolute butt off, but generates chance after chance after chance, and he hasn't scored consistently. We all can expect that he will at some point catch fire because we've seen it in the last 2 years. You know, 2 years ago, he scored, 26 points in 18 games. Last year, he almost did the same. So he will get his. But what is really weird this year is that he is just blowing these golden chances where pucks are he's fanning on shots, pucks are rolling off his stick. And then the other night, the disagreement on Kevin saying after the game that he hasn't told me why I'm not on the power play, and then Dean coming out and saying all these guys know where I'm standing. Then he puts him on the power play last night, first shift, turns 2 pucks over. Let's be honest, that is absolutely why Dean has probably taken him off the power play to try to teach him a lesson. But there's just something not good right now between these two that is an elephant in the room. But the other part of this, and I don't know if you agree with me, Anthony, doesn't it feel that there are different sets of rules for Kevin, maybe because of that long relationship they have, that Kevin can't get away with murder, turnovers galore. Dean will sometimes point out his mistakes where he protects other people, where other people can maybe get away with turning pucks over like Matt Dumba and those guys, and yet we never hear about it. It does feel like it's like that almost father-son relationship where you always say, well, my son needs to, hey, there's Dame Mizutani. What do you think? I'm going to go take a walk.
Right. I think there's a couple things here. Number one, Dean and Kevin have had a hot and cold relationship going back to those Milwaukee days. And there's no question about that. They've both talked about it, that there were times there where Dean had to have a come to Jesus meeting with him, had to bench him, disciplinary issues, but then he also got a lot out of him and they had a love-hate relationship. And that's not abnormal, I think, for coaches and star players.
It's like me and Koivu.
Similar. Me and you. Similar. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely me and you.
So I think, I think it's at the same time, last night when it's 6-on-5, Fiala comes up with a goal on the one and then an assist on the other.
He did that a lot last year.
He's one of the guys that you absolutely have to have. He and Kirill Kaprizov are what made this team different a year ago. They finally had 2 star scorers. They've never had it before. And, he has to be that. So I think he just has to be a part of this. The one thing that is interesting is the short leash that Dean seems to have for him. And I always...
Even in the second period yesterday, he played 4 shifts up until his 5th with 22 seconds left. And then he's called for a pretty ridiculous penalty.
It was a bad call, I thought.
But this guy cannot catch a break.
Right.
He goes on the ice with 22 seconds left. He's clearly, him and Zuccarello were not playing a lot for some reason. They throw him out there with 22 seconds left to get some little cheap shift to pump up. All right, well, he played 6 shifts this period. And then he goes and gets called for a penalty. And you're just like, he had to go to the locker room like, holy crap.
Right.
Hopefully Dean looked at the replay and saw that was a world's god-awful call.
It was a terrible call.
Yeah.
But So here's the only thing, like, number one, I always say that when a coach and a player have that, you never know everything that's gone into it. Yeah. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. You don't know what's been talked about in meetings. Maybe it's a mistake that was, do not make this mistake. Yeah. And then you go out and make it. I mean, there can be things like that. You just never know. The other part is, and I'll use Dumba, as you brought up Dumba as an example. Sometimes it's what's the alternative. Matt Dumba has to play.
Yeah, they don't that was have. My favorite thing the other day. Like, somebody's like, Kulikov needs to ride the pine tomorrow in Tampa. I'm like, have you not seen they've played 50 minutes without Spurgeon? Yeah, they're going to scratch Kulikov in Tampa.
Right.
Like, sometimes you want to say to fans, like, are you watching?
Right.
I need to have more Bloody Marys during the podcast.
You should.
In the
future. But the point is like, so Fiala's in the game, right? Yeah. You have 12 forwards at your disposal.
Yes.
You can pick five of them to throw out on the power play.
Especially when you know a lot of guys are
There are other options.
Yeah.
Matt Dumba, you have no other option. So it doesn't do you any good to say, well, we're going to pull Dumba off of this spot or that's you can't do it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And so that's sometimes why I think it might appear like a double standard when in reality it's just that you're not comparing apples to apples.
Look, Kevin's an interesting guy. He's cocky, extremely confident in himself, but he could be sometimes aloof, all that type of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in this.
Aloof, but he never plays aloof.
I know, he
works
his butt
off. Telling you,
off.
Like, you go back, I don't watch it as closely as our coaches do for sure. I thought the more egregious games where a star player didn't look like he was on his game were Kaprizov rather than Fiala.
Yeah, like that game, like that I hammered him two home games ago. I mean,
the San Jose game.
Yeah, it was the worst game I've ever seen him play.
I thought
everybody was working their butt off except for him. And the next night, it's not a shock. They had 4 points and worked his butt off. They got to him that game.
I thought the San Jose game was as poor a game as I've seen. But it looked like effort related as much as just making a play.
Yeah.
Whereas Fiala, every single night, he has looked like he's brought effort.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason, he hasn't scored. Now, I also think when you're in that spot and you're a scorer like he is, and you didn't play much in the second period, I mean, you talked about missing opportunities and pucks off his stick and everything. Last night, as I watched him miss the one chance right in front, he looked like a guy who had never played the game, and you think, all right, well, that isn't what Fiala looks like. That's not what an elite scorer looks like. Yeah. That's like a guy who is playing with no confidence right now. And now maybe a goal and an assist in the final two minutes or 3 minutes the other night, maybe that is we saw it with Kaprizov. Yeah. He scores the goal, and all of a sudden he looks like him. He looks like himself again, where he's creating space. He's explosive with his skating. We've seen some of those turns that we saw so often last year. Maybe we see that from Fiala after the way the game
and
finished
the
other night.
The other thing that I think is, look, these guys are all human beings. Kevin's not. It's like Jordan Greenway, same thing. These guys aren't dumb, Anthony. Like, Jordan sees the writing on the wall here that with Beckman and Boldy and these guys that he might not be long for here. And I guarantee you Fiala sees the same thing. They offered Kaprizov 8 and 7 year deals. They eventually signed him for 5, wouldn't sign him for more than 1. That was very clear. They didn't want to commit to him long term. He knows the cap space the next couple years. Like, they're gonna try and sign Nico Sturm to a Ryan Hartman type deal, offer him term to get him low. There might not be that ability with Fiala. So I think he's almost waiting for eventually to be moved. And trust me, if the Wild could get a top center right now, they'd move Kevin Fiala in a nanosecond. They've talked to Vancouver about JT Miller. If they've talked to Vancouver about JT Miller, they are talking to other teams about Fiala as well. Carolina's a team that's long been interested in guys like Fiala. They were interested in Zucker as well. So Kevin has a lot of stuff going on in his probably head right now. And look, that gets hard. I think we sometimes look at this guy like, oh, you know, boo-hoo, he makes $5.1 million. These guys are human beings.
They are
That's
human.
Not easy.
And he's not the first guy who struggled with it. Remember Jason Zucker when he was was he rumored to be in all these trades? It affects their game. It affects their life. It affects everything about them. And, you know, we were chatting with Billy Guerin a little bit last night. I've talked with him a number of times.
Yep.
He's been traded. He's been waived. He's been benched. Yep. He's been bought out. Yep. I mean, he knows full well what it's like to be in those spots.
And again, these guys, like, we all look, all right, oh, he makes millions of dollars. But look, we always also forget there's family behind the scenes. Kevin just got engaged. You know, Bill Guerin, when he was traded to Edmonton, he had like a three-month-old, a wife that was pregnant. All of a sudden, you're traded from United States to Edmonton. Like, hello, you know, that affects. You know, you think these guys should be professional, but look, they got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I know that I'm writing about Fiala all the time, and so I'm sort of like, you know, almost, I think probably some fans are thinking, oh, you're contradicting yourself, but the reality is, or hypocritical, the reality is these guys, you know, have issues that they've got to deal with that I think a lot of us just don't ever really appreciate. Let me tell everybody about Aquarius Home Services, which is your local authorized dealer for Connecticut water treatment. The holiday season is just around the corner. If you're like my family, that means a ton of cooking. I should have probably read this ad before.
A ton of cooking?
Yeah. If you know my family, the LaPantas, there's a ton of cooking there.
Yep. And we do use some fuel.
I should have definitely pre-read this. Make sure you are getting the most out
of your cooking. I'm texting Brandon right now saying, do not edit this commercial read.
This is great. This is why you got to read the ads, like read it, proofread before. You know, then you
Yeah, that's
it.
Exactly what
so
I usually
my
do.
So my family, the LaPantas, love to cook. My mom actually started a fire at her house the other day, so she could have used this. But anyway, make sure you're getting the most out of your cooking with Kinetico's K5 drinking water system. The Kinetico's drinking water system makes it convenient to get purified water right from your sink and or fridge. Certified to remove more contaminants than any other system with 99% removal. My friends over at Aquarius Home Services, Kinetico, can help you. They installed my K5 drinking water system for me, and it is the best decision I've made for healthy drinking water and makes my recipes top-notch. It actually makes my coffee top-notch. Not really my recipes, but my coffee.
I was going to
It'll make
curious,
your recipes
like,
top-notch.
Yeah, give me one recipe.
I make chicken and broccoli every now and then. If you want to learn more about Kinetico's K5 drinking water system, contact Aquarius Home Services Kinetico for a free water analysis or visit them at AquariusHomeServices.com. And don't forget to mention that Russo sent you. Anthony, tell us about Kowalski's.
Well, we do actually cook at our house. We
I
don't
know.
Have a lot of recipes, but we do cook. And I'm looking forward to it. We've got Thanksgiving dinner coming up at the LaPanta household on Thursday. I'm excited about it. We don't do the traditional Thanksgiving meal anymore with turkey because we found out that...
Somebody did ask, what's your ideal Thanksgiving meal? And yep. I knew right away you were not going to say turkey.
No, it's not.
Turkey.
I don't like turkey. And we made it for years. And we'd look at each other and say, why do we make this every year? Nobody in our family likes turkey. So... my mom does, but this year she can go have turkey at my brother's house. I don't know. I mean, she's going to come over to our house if she wants. Last year we made an outstanding beef tenderloin that was terrific, and I think that's probably what we're going to go with again this year. We had a steak and seafood combo last year. We'll do something like that. You're welcome to join us, by the way.
I'm going to my cousins, and yeah. I guarantee they shop at Kowalski's.
Yep. So go
just
to
reminding we're gonna, people who you're talking
right,
about.
We're going to go to Kowalski's for this, and because we're going to end up with the best ingredients. I have to send Margo to the store this time, so when I send her there, I always say when you go to buy the steaks, just tell them what you're looking for. Tell them you want the akaushi with the best, whatever. They'll help you out. You don't have to be an expert to go there because they're the experts. And I'm going to guarantee you, your cousin's meal might be good, but ours is going to be better. And because the ingredients come from Kowalski's.
I will say my cousins make an insane turkey, which is very, very good. By the way, the more things change, the more things change. And when it comes to real estate, two things are changing big time as we head into winter, the housing market and consumer expectations. When it comes to the market, Chris Lindahl Real Estate is seeing more homes for sale, but they're not selling as fast, and experts are seeing higher interest rates on the horizon. As for consumers, it's convenience. We all want to save time and order with the click of the button. That's why Chris Lindahl Real Estate created its hugely successful Guaranteed Offer Program. They have motivated buyers because everybody knows their name. In fact, every time they market themselves, they're actually helping you sell your home, which is why they feel 100% confident guaranteeing offers. Thousands of people have received guaranteed offers from Chris Lindahl Real Estate. because it's the most convenient way to sell, period. More flexibility, more options, more access to homes to buy. Don't wait. Whether you want to sell conventionally or go to their guaranteed offer route, call Chris Lindahl Real Estate today at 763-401-SOLD or go to chrislindahl.com. That's chrislindahl.com. I cannot believe, Anthony, that we haven't mentioned, by the way, that our next live podcast is November 29th. That's next week, a week from... Well, today that we're
week
recording
from today,
this Monday,
because we you know, we've talked about this, but it is Margo's birthday today.
Yes, it's Margo's birthday. So yep. A week from Margo's birthday, we'll be at Tuttle's. Last time it was absolutely packed, so get there early. It was fun.
Great crowd last time.
From now on, we should drink Bloody Marys during the podcast, I think. Tuttle's November 29th. So please come on out. I think it'll be absolutely awesome. And by the way, if you want to drink more Bloody Marys with us and a whole lot of wine, go to DefineDestinations.com and come on our trip next week to next year, next July, right?
July.
We're going to Budapest, Prague, Vienna, and Bratislava, coincidentally, that I wrote about a little bit today. And by the way, when we go to Vienna, whatever we do, if you're coming on this trip, do not go to a live street performer and offer a tip and give them a bunch of money, because you will probably get mugged. That's what happened to Tyler Nanny, apparently, last week. So we have to be careful of that. So I was told that today.
It's an interesting side note. Yes, interesting selling point.
I'm just telling you. So Louie Nanny tells me this story today. I'm like, well, thanks for the tip, because I will not go to any street performers and pull out some money and give some tips in Vienna.
Hmm. And should you not just walk down the street with a wad of cash in your hand either?
No. Well, that's the other thing. Apparently, Tyler pulled out a wad of cash and regretted it immediately.
I think we call that user error.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
We did meet a couple last night here that says they're going to come with us on the trip.
Yeah, that was cool. He looks like the lead singer from My Morning Jacket. So I love that song, by the way, Gideon. I told it to him. He tweeted me last night. He's like, I love that song. So that's pretty cool. The good news, if you're listening to this podcast, is that my recorder has very little battery life left, so we will be wrapping this up in about 10 minutes. Hockey Dad, let's go through Twitter questions. We have some great ones. You can't see, I can't speak. Hockey Dad 125 goes, your thoughts on calling up Addison and then not playing him? You know, I think that one's pretty easy. I definitely thought that Addison would just play for Spurgeon. I think that the Wild, look, sometimes you have to look at things from a human perspective. The Wild have already played Jordy Benn, pulled him out for Kalen Addison in the past. And I think, you know, the guy's been here for 18 games. He's played one game. Sometimes you have to worry about, like, you're humiliating the guy. And, you know, the one thing that I regret not pointing out on my gamer the other day that made me think that they were going to play Benn in last night's game regardless of Spurgeon's injury is that the morning skate in Florida before Spurgeon got hurt, Dean Evason had a long conversation with Jordy Benn. And in there, I bet you he was saying, I am playing you tomorrow night. Then they lose Spurgeon. They obviously call up Kalen Addison. And I think that what it said to them is if, like, we have to pull somebody out to play Kalen Addison, and then we're not playing Jordy, or we just play Jordy. And I think that that's why he played last night. You know,
well, that coupled with Addison, the travel day wasn't.
Yeah, I know, but he got here at one. I had a harder travel day than him.
And he probably had the same kind of intensity in what he would have had to do that night. I mean, you did have to type after the game.
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, those fingers, the stress.
It might have
been scrolling through Twitter while watching out the window while they cleaned up gas on the runway.
To continue your great analogy, I was so tired from my travel day yesterday that I wrote one of the worst stories that I've written in my years at the Athletics. So actually, good point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Kalen would have been terrible.
I mean, so I think there's that. I do think, I mean, there is something to be said for you've got Jordy Benn here, and he's an insurance policy. I mean, that's all he is. Yep. It's just in case somebody goes down, you've got a veteran guy that you can count on. But in order for that to be an insurance policy, you do have to throw him in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get
the
any.
Thing, like, the guy's been collecting dust in the press box. At some point, you got to play him. Or you got to send him to Iowa on a rehab stint just to allow him. Because if the longer it goes, you just don't feel comfortable playing him. You can't play him.
Right. Now, with all that, I think Addison probably plays in New Jersey on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maybe Benn plays again in place of Merrill or Kulikov or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But I just think they were lacking skating ability and puck movement out of their defensemen last night against Tampa. I thought it was evident. And you don't realize, I mean, I made the point earlier that, yeah, Tampa's without Braden Point and the Wild without Jared Spurgeon, and by no means am I trying to compare those two players. But when you take those players away, what you take away from the Wild with Jared Spurgeon, so much of their offense comes from their ability to move the puck out of their own zone, their skating ability defensively, and now all of a sudden last night, you're down to, now you have one of your normal defensive pair intact with Brodin and Dumba. And I mean, I think you need a guy. I would guess Addison plays in New Jersey, but we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Ben played in place of Merrill.
Yep. By the time this podcast comes out, perhaps we know the extent or at least how long Jared's out. You know, what do you think? It's funny because seeing him around, like I saw him last night, he's still here, which I think is a good sign that they didn't send him home. You know, he looks like he's walking with a limp, but doesn't look like devastating, but it doesn't sound like they think this is going to be short term either, Anthony.
I have no idea. I had the same vibes from the conversations that it sounded like it wasn't like he's not on the verge of playing Wednesday night in New Jersey. I mean, but at the same time, I haven't asked any questions about it. So I really don't, I have no opinion other than to say that it does look like we're not talking about a guy who's going to be back in the next couple games.
Yeah, he got the Russo jinx the other day. I complimented him on his Louis belt before that Florida game, and then next thing you know, a minute later, he's hurt.
You know, jinxes aren't real.
Yeah, no, they are real. You know, they're real.
That's a great argument. Too. That was a tremendous supporting arguments right
Karma's
there.
Karma's real too. You took a freaking
karma, I believe,
eye.
Is real, but it's not a jinx. It's not like jinxes aren't real.
I looked Nicholas Backstrom in the eye once during his turtle walk in Denver, and he gave up 7 goals at the end of the first period and a half. Tell me jinxes aren't real.
Well, you're like Schleprock. It's karma.
You're not allowed to look the Backstrom in the eye, and he gave up 7 goals.
And you really think that that's why he gave up 7 goals?
Yep, and I think that me complimenting
Spurgeon. Well, then why don't you go look in the eye of whoever the Wild's opponent is, why don't you go look a goalie in the eye and then go to Vegas and bet on the other side? I mean, if you really think that's what kind of power you staring at a goaltender has, you should be able to make some cash off
Jack Olson asks, with Murat Khuznadinov's contract ending after this year, is it possible for Billy G to communicate with him and his representatives ahead of time to make sure that he doesn't re-sign with St. Pete? Yes, and I would highly encourage Billy to do that, or we might eventually have a Kirill Kaprizov situation. We talked about Talbot, so let's skip Francis Panis's question. Sorry, Francis. Connor asks, with Vancouver struggling, I'm sure Wild fans are bringing back up the Ek versus Besser right now because of it. In no way would consider trading Ek for Besser, but with Fiala in the doghouse and both their contracts expiring at the end of the year, is it crazy to think about a trade? It's not going to be Besser if they make a trade. It would be JT Miller, I would think. They need a center.
No, yeah, if they're going to move Kevin Fiala, it isn't going to be for another winger. It's going to be for a center.
Yeah, absolutely. Rebecca, I don't get the constant talk of a Dumba trade. Is it really just contract driving this? I would say yes. I mean, look, you know, the only reason why we constantly are talking about Fiala, Greenway, and Dumba trades is because we know the Wild's tight cap situation the next 3 years, and the reality is that they only have so much money to re-sign people, so because those three are on expiring contracts in the next year or two, we are talking just pretty much about them. But the one thing I will say about Matt Dumba is that he even said it as he was walking out talking to somebody after his press conference yesterday. You know, he's like, I've survived 2 expansion drafts. I'm here I'm here right now. And so it seems like the Wild do everything possible to keep him on this team. So of the three guys, Greenway, Fiala, and Dumba, I think he has the most job security. But for him to stay, he's probably going to have to take a pay cut at some point. I don't know how they could afford him, right, Anthony? He makes $6 million now. They have a ton of dead cap space coming up because of the Parisi Suter buyouts.
Yeah, the math is going to be tough for more than just a couple guys on this team. But there also is you're going to have the influx of guys from Iowa that are playing on smaller deals. So it does. They are going to have a little bit of flexibility there, assuming that they're ready with some of these young guys coming up. And I mean, it's been pretty cool to see how well Matt Boldy's played in his first couple games down there. Marco Rossi's having a great season. I mean, these guys looked throughout training camp like they certainly could have made the team and wouldn't have been out of place. So now if you start to say, all right, well, we're going to replace a couple veterans in our lineup with these guys making what they're going to be making.
No doubt.
Now you have some flexibility with some of those other guys.
We have one more left on my recorder, which is means that only a couple more minutes left in the show. One bar left on my recorder is kind of like the last time we were in Tampa, Anthony, and we went to Raleigh right after. That's when I interviewed Eric Sneck here and did that big Eric Sneck story. And about at midnight last night, I hear from Margo, have you heard from Anthony today? And I'm like, actually, I haven't been with Anthony all day today. And it was because your phone died. So that's what my Zoom recorder looks like. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Margo was not happy with you.
And I
almost had to go to the Raleigh Police Department to find you.
I wound up at a wedding that night.
Yeah, I know. You crashed a wedding.
I wound up at a wedding in Chapel Hill.
Do you think the last 5 minutes of the show we should put the mic in Margo's hands?
We should at least let her ignite. I mean, it's Margo's birthday tonight. We actually, like a couple of the fans we met last night, they said, you know what? We listen to the show. We just want to hear more from Margo.
That's why you got to come to Europe.
Right. Yeah, you absolutely should. But so, Margo, we'll let you just, you can ask one question, anything you want. Like, what's on your mind? It's your birthday. What's on your mind?
Hand her the mic. Yep. Margo. Yep.
Margo,
what's it like living with Anthony? Isn't it just a dream 24 hours a day? Pincher, she says.
Yep.
Belle asks, what is the most exciting thing to write about so far this season? You know, it's actually been, it's been fun writing about this team. I mean, first of all, the games are absolutely exciting.
Well, they come from
features.
Behind.
Like, I'm just telling you, like, I'm working on a Thanksgiving story right now on, like, even, like Rem Pitlett. What a great find that was. Like, he's played great, Anthony. That guy works his butt off skill to go
he
with.
He does, but there's been a different focus on getting some guys with some skill and some speed. And even if Rem Pitlick might never be he's never going to be a regular top six forward on a Stanley Cup contending team. But how much more fun is it to watch a fourth line with Sturm, Duhaime, Bukestad, Pitlick, some combination of that? Guys who bring something to the table, that's why this team has depth, because that's the kind of guys you've got in that role on the team. And I think that's what makes this team so much fun for you to write about, for me to cover, is that it legitimately, no lead is safe. I mean, we joke about it and say, you know, how could you stop watching? Well, I mean, how can you? We're 18 games into the season. This team has won 7 times when they were behind, got another game into overtime when they were down by 2. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I will say, like, it's been fun covering this team. I mean, we're a month and a half in. This story I'm writing on Rem on Thursday is going to be really, really cool. I covered his dad in Florida, and now I'm covering him. I mean, that just shows my longevity. Don't you think it's time for me to retire? Ben Herzl asks, let's end it on this. Sorry, just making sure we're about to not get killed here. I'm like, this guy's just eyeballing us here. It's like we're in Vienna at a street performer right now.
And you've got a lot of cash in your hand.
Ben Hurdle asks, and let's end it here, and this is a good topic. Matt Boldy, 2 games in the look at this. And we got to pay attention to this situation here. Ben Hurdle, I'm going to have to, like, pack up my laptop and the recorder. I might lose it all in about a minute. Ben Hurdle asks, Boldy, luckily, Anthony can't see, so he doesn't know what's going on, Margo.
It could be anything happening.
He's got no
could be a person,
vision.
Could be a
can't
deer,
see uniform
could be
numbers.
A,
this
could
is like
be
the
a
most
ferret
dangerous
walking
situation.
By. We don't know.
This has been one hell of a podcast, don't you think?
It's been a great podcast. Yeah.
Ben Hurdle, poor Brandon right now is at home just editing this thing, just wanting to just...
No, I'm texting him right now and saying there is no editing allowed.
Yeah. Ben Hurdle asks, Boldy's picking it up. He has 3 goals in 2 games down there. Of course, Wild fans are like, when are you getting up here? When are you getting up here? They don't have issues on here on I'm absolutely distracted by this guy. Like, he's ready to come over here and just take all our stuff, Anthony. And don't you think we should just wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
Matt Boldy, when's he going to come up?
I don't think it'll be anytime soon. I think it's going
to
be a...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Forget it. So when you're listening to this podcast and I just absolutely offended this guy, just he apparently knows who I am.
It's a shocking development that one of the two of us overreacted to a guy wandering around watching the show.
So let me just explain to everybody listening at home what just
happened.
By, this guy wandering by that I thought
show.
Was about to kill me and stole everything. Apparently he just knew who I was, knew I was the Athletic beat writer. This reminds me of Target. So at Target about 2 months ago, this guy's like following me around Target. Like, and I finally turn around and I'm like, give him, like, do you want a fight look? Like, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? And he goes, hey, can I take a picture with you? So that's what just happened now.
So
the guy that, for the last 2 minutes, I just thought was going to steal our stuff
and attack us. Couldn't
spit out a sentence
because he thought his laptop might get stolen. And instead,
an Athletic subscriber
just wanted to say hello.
And a big fan of the Wild.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So now we can relax. Woo, take a deep breath. Oh, boy.
That poor guy's listening to this. He's going to be listening to this podcast completely offended right now.
Right. Yep.
I am not wearing my glasses right now. I'm blind. I am blind like you are blind, and I can't see.
So if we're both blind, one of us panics, the other one didn't.
Well, that's because you are legit blind. I'm just, everything's blurry.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I am. All right. That sounds like a good time to wrap up the show.
Boldy, they can be patient with Boldy. He'll be down in the minors. He'll get here soon enough. Okay.
I just hope it's safe on the streets for him when he gets here.
Yep. Thanks to Bosch Law Firm. Holy crap, this was an interesting podcast. Now we got a dog about to attack us.
Oh, boy.
Thanks to Tria. Thanks to Profile. Thanks to Minnesota Propane Association. Thanks to Aquarius Home Services.
Happy birthday, Margo.
Your local authorized dealer for Connecticut water treatments. Thanks to Kowalski's. And thanks to Chris Lindahl. This could be our last podcast ever, potentially.
It could be if either the dog attacks us or the roving gang of thugs that are really just fans all of a sudden sprint over here.
Or every sponsor calls up Talk North and cancels. That could be.
That could happen, too.
November 29th. At Tuttle's live podcast, Anthony and me, Bloody Marys for everybody. So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never gonna win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner. I'm absolutely distracted by this guy. Like, he's ready to come over here and just take all our stuff, Anthony. And don't you think we should just wrap it up right this minute?